Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. In her message titled, Now What?, Bonnie Davis explains to us the different clothes that God has instructed us to wear. The most important of these clothes is love, which binds all others together in perfect unity. Let us now join Bonnie Davis as she explains God's Word.
Be seated to join in the prayer of confession. Holy Lord, we have wandered away to pursue our own agenda. We have laid aside your expectation that we will forbear one another and forgive. There are grudges against people. There are some we neglect and some we disdain. We have viewed them neither as your beloved nor as our sisters and brothers. The peace of Christ does not rule in our hearts. Your truth is not what flows from our lips or finds expression in our actions. O God, forgive us. Turn us around, that what we do may be a genuine expression of your love. Amen. God hears our cries and forgives all who are penitent and believing.
Whoever trusts God will not be disappointed.
Whoever reaches out to others in the Spirit of Christ will know the joy of God's love. We are forgiven, we are accepted, we are loved. The scripture reading from the New Testament this morning is from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And may God bless the reading of this scripture. I'm going to take a moment for the prayer for illumination. O Lord, in every word I speak this morning, may your voice be heard. Temper and change the hearing when my understanding may not be the way that you want us to understand you. Speak to us through these words and bring us closer to you and to each other. Amen. Well, because I got to do the children's sermon, I could scoot right through some of this first part of this sermon. But here we are, 2 days after Christmas, and those trees are looking a little old. And some of us may have already put those away, the ones that were formerly live, we may have just tossed out by the road for the trash to pick up. Some of us are already bored or disillusioned by those gifts that we thought we had to have. And we've already started to scowl at people again and to complain. So for some of us, way too many of us, Christmas is already over. And now what? We ask ourselves, consciously or subconsciously, as we continue dissembling Christmas, packing up or repacking everything, tossing out, rearranging, and our antenna, have already become alert to catch the next screaming headlines, whenever they might come, whatever they might be. We're already rehearsing the conversations we need to have with our boss. We're looking over the bills that need to be paid. We're refereeing arguments between the kids. We feel our heart rates and our blood pressure rising. The challenge for us in this sanctuary this morning is to consider the now what. To consider whether Christmas really means anything to us, whether it in any way affects how we live our lives outside the walls of this or any church. The question for many of us is, what do we do now that Christmas Day is over? But Christmas Day is not the ending, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of a whole new way of understanding God, of understanding God's relationship to us and ours to God, of understanding what it means to be a chosen child of God, to have responsibilities, not privileges, what it means to be a holy and beloved child of God. These are the 12 days of Christmas, according to the old church calendar and the old church tradition. In this time, we have, if we allow ourselves, a grace of stillness about us, still reflecting on Christmas and what it meant to us. Many of us race right up to Christmas Day. I have a friend who sent me a text just before Christmas, and she said, "I am really disgusted with myself." She said, "I have done it again. In my drive to get everything perfect, I've lost Christmas." And many of us feel that way. Sometimes some of us have set aside some time during Advent to read a devotional and focus to prepare our hearts for the birth of Christ. Others of us don't even stop to take a breath or think about what we're doing until we sit down at the Christmas Eve service. And the silent night of that service is when we feel God's presence for the first time in the season, maybe. But now we can continue that. Either the practice of the daily devotionals or the sitting silently and being aware of God's presence with us. I like to light a candle and sit. It calls me into focus. And I like to just be quiet, to be still, not running through my grocery list, not having agendas, but just being present with God. And now these are perfect days for taking a few minutes, lighting the candle and sitting present with God. May Sarton has a poem entitled "Christmas Light," and she has, in part of it, she's written, "When everyone had gone, I sat in the library with a small, silent tree, she and I alone. How softly she shone. And for the first time this year, I felt reborn again. I knew love's presence near." So this morning, let's sit beside the manger together. Not the Christmas tree, we're going to sit by the manger and see what love's presence feels like as we consider the words in this Colossians text. They're simple words, simple instructions. And then reading them with the eyes of Christmas, we see that those words tell us what Christmas is really all about, what the birth of Christ is all about, what Christ himself is all about. So let's look at the text for amazing, incredible things to find in Colossians. Instead, we're told how to get dressed. There's nothing amazing there. Just get yourselves together and put these clothes on, the clothes I'm telling you to put on. So we began. We put on compassion. In yesterday's Washington Post, Colbert King had an op-ed piece that defines compassion. King mentioned an Al-Shabaab terrorist group that attacked a bus in Mandera, Kenya, forcing the bus to stop. The terrorists boarded the bus and ordered the Muslim and Christian passengers to separate. Their intent was to murder the Christians. Al-Shabaab had done this before, killing 148 in April of this year, after asking the victims their religions first. Many of those killed were Christians. This group did the same thing in November 2014, killing 28 non-Muslim passengers on a bus traveling to Nairobi. But on this bus, on Monday, a Newsweek account said, Muslims on the bus gave some non-Muslims their religious attire to wear in the bus so that they would not be identified easily should their bus be stopped. So when they were ordered by the terrorists, split up into groups by religion, a Muslim passenger reported to Newsweek, we stuck together tightly. The militants threatened to shoot us, but we refused to split up. We protected our brothers and sisters. Finally, the terrorists gave up and left, but they warned us that they would be back. The local governor in this area confirmed that account. He said they refused to separate from the non-Muslims, and they told the attackers, you kill all of us or you leave. King reprinted part of that Newsweek story in his op-ed yesterday, and then King wrote, in these intolerant times, the actions of some Muslims in the face of al-Shabaab's vicious religious hatred is inspiring, but the bravery in Kenya is more than an example of followers of Islam defending people who hold different religious beliefs. There is a larger lesson here that needs learning in this fractured world, King continued, including here at home. It involves, King said, trying to understand the human condition of others. Put yourself in their position, walk in their shoes, bear what they are bearing, King wrote. What King is challenging all of us to is compassion. That is a very good definition of compassion. Trying to understand the human condition of others, putting ourselves in their positions, walking in their shoes, bearing what they are bearing. This would-be terrorist incident in Kenya is not the kind of thing we think of when we hear the word compassion, but this incident reminds us that compassion is more than simple words. It's more than saying, I understand, I'm sorry, my thoughts and prayers are with you. Compassion requires courage sometimes, even if it is only the courage to speak out when we hear or see injustice in any form. And back to getting dressed. In Colossians, it's not about dressing up for special events. These clothes we're putting on are for every day and all night. The second article of clothing we put on is kindness. The Reverend Professor C.F.D. Moule, who served as Professor of Divinity at Cambridge University, was referred to by The Guardian as a gentle theologian with simple insights, with unique insights into New Testament ethics. The Reverend Moule described having kindness as having a generous spirit. Generosity means giving more than is necessary and giving it joyfully, not grudgingly. Too often we read or hear words and we don't actually define what they mean. So sometimes we have a vague understanding that maybe kindness means being nice. I can be nice and I can smile at this person. But in the Reverend Moule's definition, it's much more than that. Kindness is not passive, it is generous. Our next article of clothing is humility, which the Reverend Moule described as having a humble disposition. And there is not much modeling of that in and around the Beltway where we live. So we need to look to Jesus for that. We're sure not going to find it around here. Well, not here, in and around the Beltway. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus shows us what humility looks like, beginning with his birth as a humble babe lying in a manger. Now we put on meekness. And I'm getting pretty uncomfortable in these clothes. They're not clothes I wear very often, but I'm supposed to be wearing them, the meekness, the humility, the compassion. The Reverend Moule described meekness as a willingness to make concessions. Meekness is another article of clothing that we don't see much around the Beltway. But in Colossians, we're told, put on that meekness every day. You wear it all the time. Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases meekness as quiet strength. Those with strength around here seem to be pretty loud about it, I think. But meekness, Peterson says, is being content with second place. What a concept. Patience is the next piece of clothing. Peterson defines patience as discipline, learning to wait. In Blue Mountain Journal, Eknath Eswaran wrote, "There's a close connection between hurry and impatience. Our culture is so speeded up today that no one has time to be patient, to wait. People in a hurry, people without patience, cannot really love," he writes. "To love, we need to be sensitive to those around us, which is impossible if we're racing through life engrossed in all the things we think we need to do." And we aren't finished yet. Colossians tells us to bear with one another without eye rolling. It doesn't say that, but we can pretty much assume that is exactly what it means. To be tolerant of one another in a sincere way, and also to forgive each other when we have a complaint against someone. We're reminded that the Lord has forgiven us, and we are therefore expected to forgive others as the Lord does. The members of the Charleston AME Church, who lost family and friends and a pastor in the racial killing there in June, showed the world what forgiveness looks like. The Lord doesn't say forgive except in this circumstance or that circumstance. The Lord says forgive, as I have forgiven you. One church member's 70-year-old grandmother was one of the nine killed in that Bible study in the church, killed by a young white man who sat in the Bible study for a while and then rose and announced he had come to, quote, kill black people. He started firing his gun at those who were gathered. The grandson of the murdered woman spoke publicly after the killing. He addressed the murderer in a court hearing, and he said to the murderer, "You took something very precious away from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never get to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people, but I forgive you." This is the forgiveness you and I are also called to every day. This is the forgiveness that sleeps in that manger that we sit beside. Finally, the last article of clothing is love. In the Message, Peterson paraphrases this and says, "Regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It is your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it." Love is what holds everything else together. Love is what Christmas is ultimately all about. Love brings everything else into perfect harmony. All of these ways of behaving, of living, of being, are blended together by love. In perfect harmony, the notes blend together and become rich and full and true. As we sit by the manger this week, we may want to check our clothing. We may want to ask ourselves and God whether we need to mend some of our clothes or change clothes entirely and put on these new clothes that we're finding we should be wearing all the time. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, this passage tells us. Let. The choice is up to us. It's not forced on us. We have a choice of letting it rule or turning away. We're offered the opportunity to let Christ's peace rule in our hearts. The book Preaching Through the Christian Year says that the word for rule is more literally rendered umpire. So it suggests that a better way of understanding this might be to say, let the peace of Christ be the ruling force within you. Or better yet, let Christ's peace be the arbiter in your decisions. Still, we aren't quite through. We're told to be thankful. One source says the literal translation is, be the grateful people. It's up to us to show what being grateful people looks and sounds like. But one way might be to sing. Sing, we are told. Sing with gratitude in our hearts. Don't just sing with our mouths and lungs, but sing with our hearts with gratitude in them. Be the grateful people. And in all this, in whatever we do, in word or deed, we're to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Eboo Patel is a Muslim. He's the founder and president of the Interfaith Youth Corps, a Chicago-based international nonprofit group that promotes interfaith cooperation. He tells the story of a Christian minister living abroad during World War II. The minister's congregation sends him money so he can return home for Christmas, but he doesn't return home. And when he didn't return home, the congregation asked him why. And he said, well, he had used the money to help a group of Jews escape Hitler's death camps and flee to safety. One member of the congregation protested, but they aren't even Christian. Yes, I know, the minister responded, but I am. This is the now what for the days and the weeks and the months that follow Christmas every year. And may God grant us the grace to live into the now what.
Thank you, Ms. Davis, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Go now and carry the true spirit of Christmas in your hearts and out into the world, and may the God of deep peace, renewed life, and everlasting love be with you and yours today and in all the days that follow.